Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
27 minutes to 8 on SENSA Breakfast. Our text line 0427 154 166. Before 8 this morning, we'll be speaking to the chef, Braden Cook from The Crows. Do you think that's his nickname? The chef bit?
The chef.
Yeah.
Cookie? I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
But it's probably...
Can you ask him in the interview so I don't seem like the idiot?
I'll ask him if he's got a nickname.
Thank you. If it's the chef.
The Swedish chef from The Muppets.
I wouldn't have gone that far, but that's all right. Let's go to Sam Edmund, who is our chief footy reporter and is doing an outstanding job as always. Now, good morning to you, Sam. What's your nickname?
Welshy Bix. Very boring over here, mate. Don't have anything overly exciting to share with you. Certainly not chef, and nor should it be.
Hey, Sam, you're on your way to a press conference with Luke Beveridge from the Western Bulldogs. Now, the heat is starting to be turned up a little bit on the Bulldogs after their performance on the weekend.
Well, it is. So he speaks at 8:30 our time today, boys, and not for the first time. There is a lot of interest in what the coach of the Western Bulldogs has to say. So for mine, there's two factors here. The messaging that Beveridge has provided in the media about, you know, where the Dogs are at and where they're headed, but also what we're seeing out on the field in terms of performance and curious team selection. So I spoke to a couple of Bulldogs insiders last night. This is where they think they're out at the moment. So football-wise, round six coming up. They're 2-3, so there's a stack to play out on that front. But it's Luke Beveridge's comments that have been confusing and in somewhat contradictory in recent times, and that is something that's been discussed internally. So look for the Dogs coach to speak, hopefully more specifically today, and to provide the Bulldogs fan base, I guess, with a clearer picture of the now and the future. Because coaching-wise, guys, the club is as satisfied with Bevo's coaching as they've been for some time. At the back of the review and the football department changes they've made, they say he's been freed up from worrying about and getting bogged down in the peripheral stuff, which he's been increasingly doing. He's been told to trust the people around him. He is. They want him as a senior coach to just focus on that, and he is. So they're really bullish on how he's coaching, albeit they need to win some games and they need their players' performances to match. So that's where team selection this week as well will be very, very interesting.
We know that Tom Liberatore won't be there because he's entered the concussion protocols. When we look back at some of the comments that were made after the game, I think the Western Bulldogs look a bit silly when they said that he had a slight sprain of his ankle and that is why he fell over. That was not a sprained ankle that made him fall over.
No. So the combination of reasons that Liber gave the club was a sore ankle, exhaustion, and a loss of balance. And that was all the club had to go on because their medicos, Bix, checked him over thoroughly. He passed the SCAT-6 test. They say categorically there was no concussion, no concussion symptoms, and there haven't been any concussion symptoms since. But they're in regular contact with the AFL, Michael McDeesey as well, the chief medical officer. The league were happy with the process that Dogs followed. And it was the Western Bulldogs' decision and decision alone to put Tom Liberatore in the concussion protocols. And I think that's the right decision. Yes, out an abundance of caution. Yes, he didn't get a knock to the head. But if you're passing out like that without at this stage any lack of evidence to suggest why it happened other than concussion, then I think the right decision was made by the Dogs to put him in the protocols because the vision was disturbing.
Now, Sammy, the AFL are really lucky that it's not a showdown this weekend because the Crows lose, Matt Crouch and Port Adelaide keep Zach Butters. So the rivalry isn't impacted as much. But it seems to be dividing opinion across the AFL as this happens every week. When is this going to stop? When are we going to have more clarity or is it just never going to be clear?
Never. It's on the carousel and it's a weekly topic at the moment when it comes to the news cycle. I just can't get my head around this one. I'm not sure how many people think along the similar lines to me, but I just have no idea how you can draw a distinction so great between the Crouch and the Butters incidents that one would be doing time and the other would be playing this week. And I cannot see, we are splitting hairs to a minute degree. One can get a week and one can't. I can't get with that at all. If anything, they should both be getting a week or more. Certainly, you can't have one and the other. And I listened to Michael Christian with Gerard Waitley yesterday. I just cannot for the life of me think the difference between them was that great.
Mm. I think Zach Butters was more good luck than good management. And but for the bounce of a ball or the turn of a head, the speed that he came through that contest, that could have, anything could have happened there. I know it's you know, we say anything could have happened. I feel like if that happened 10 times, 5 times you get the result you got on the weekend, and 5 times, you know, something else more serious happens and he ends up having a holiday. So it'll be an interesting conversation. I wonder whether Ken Hinckley sits down and says, you just have to temper that a little bit, because if you get that wrong, that can give you a significant holiday on the sidelines.
However, Bix, like, he gets him in the head, and he gets him in the head hard. And the vision of Bailey Bamfield's head rocking back and sweat flying everywhere, like, he makes solid contact. Now, Michael Christian did say yesterday that had Bailey Bamfield been concussed and knocked into next week, it wouldn't have changed things, because they'd already deemed that the play on the ball was being performed by Zach Butters. And he said it multiple times, the AFL's view is, if you make the ball your priority and your objective, like Peter Wright should have done famously at the SCG, then impact is irrelevant, which, boy, I found staggering.
You know, the only thing I'd say to that, Sam, is if you watch it really closely, the ball deviates a little bit, and Banfield goes from having the play on the ball to the ball being, say, a half a metre away, and then he has to reach out for it, and that's when Butters maybe gets there first. If the ball continues to roll on and he ends up touching that ball first, it looks like Butters will cannon straight into him. And that's, if he got concussed, that's probably 4 or 5 weeks on the sideline. So all I'm saying is, it is, when you come into the contest at that speed, you don't know which way the opposition player is going to go, which way the ball is bouncing. For me, that is it's a lottery, really, what happens next. Now, he was pretty lucky that the ball did deviate a little bit. He got there first, you know, and the MRO saw it that way. But I think, like I said, if that happens 10 times in a game, 5 times it might be a good outcome, but 5 times is a very different outcome.
Now, just before we let you go, Sammy, I did see something on the TV shows last night, which I found really interesting in regards to teams going through rebuilds and them taking longer than expected. So West Coast, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, and now Richmond. Are we talking enough about what's happening with Hawthorn and their, I guess, inconsistent season? They challenged Collingwood, but they were really disappointing over the weekend too.
Oh, massively disappointing. Look, they've got a long injury list as well, and they are vulnerable on this front. Depth is not a trait you would associate with Hawthorn at the moment. But the AFL have made it clear. I mean, it's not, you just can't afford to rebuild anymore. They are long, they are painful. Tassie's coming in. There's debate over Northern Academy selections out of the back of the Suns draft. Next Generation Academies need some work as well. It just takes a long time to get better in this competition. So if you are rebuilding, then you're set for years and years of pain. But, yeah, certainly work to do at Hawthorn, that's for sure. That's probably as stressed as I've ever seen Sam Mitchell after a game of football, to be honest. And he was very animated down on the boundary line as well, when he normally coaches up in the box. And probably as scathing as a press conference you see in the modern day, he didn't miss him.
Well, like, my heart's bleeding for Hawthorn fans. They've won 4 flags in the last 15 years. Look, how many do you want?
No, I'm not. My heart's not bleeding for them either, Bix, to be perfectly honest with you. They've had their fun in the sun, and Richmond the same. And look, there is an art, isn't there, in regenerating on the run, and maybe this is what the Western Bulldogs are trying to do amid all the criticism. It is what Geelong have done so well over time, and what Sydney have done so well over time. It's you know, it's almost gaming the system, the equalisation system.
Mm, yep, you can do it for a period of time, but eventually it catches up. You know, I think the Hawks did it for a number of years, recycling a number of players. But Sammy, thank you for your time this morning.
No worries, guys. And just as I leave you, keep an eye on announcements from Collingwood today and in the days to come as well regarding Nathan Murphy.
Interesting. Thank you very much to Sam Edmund there, one of the best in the business, and we're very glad to have him at SENSA. Bix, did you see overnight the issue that happened with the Beijing half marathon?
No.
Did you see the footage of this?
No, I didn't.
We can reshare this on all of our socials. So I watched this last night with interest, because it was at the end of this half marathon, and there's been an investigation put into it, because there were 3 African runners trailing behind China's Heji. And literally, the 3 African runners, I'm watching the race thinking, well, they're just going to flex in a moment and start sprinting, at least one of them, and to win that. But the 3 African runners in this footage actually pointed to the finish line and waved the Chinese runner out there to win the half marathon.
Where was it? Where was it being run?
This was in Beijing.
Okay.
So a half marathon, it's incredible to watch the vision. And the Beijing Sports Bureau have released an announcement. Someone from there who's remaining anonymous says, we're investigating, we'll announce the results to the public once they are available.
Maybe it was just a sporting gesture to let the hometown hero have a win in his hometown.
So do you really believe that by looking at me? Say it with a straight face.
Do they bet on this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it does have a lot of Euro cricket vibes about it, if you know what I mean. It is 17 minutes to 8 on SENSA. It was a great weekend for Adelaide getting their first win, and we're going to speak to Braden Cook about it next.